So last time we were together, we were kind of reaching the end of chapter six. And what we saw in chapter six was it seemed that the people of Israel were repenting. In the first few verses, it says they were talking about returning to the Lord, and they were talking about, the Lord's going to heal us. And they were kind of acting as if it was going to happen sooner, more sooner than later. So they were very trusting in the Lord that he was going to rescue them and heal their land, heal the people. But the Lord saw right through them, and he saw that the repentance that they were showing was kind of like a false repentance. So the Lord can see that we saw that the Lord saw right through their empty words. The way, and we remember the way that Hosea, by way of the Lord, was going to describe what was happening in their hearts, was that he was going to go through a series of comparisons. And again, those comparisons were going to help us, it would show us what was really going on in the hearts of the people of Israel. One Bible teacher that I listen to every now and then, you probably all know who he is, Tony Evans. Yes, no, you guys know who Tony Evans is? No, okay. Good. Pastor Tony is a very gifted in using comparisons and coming up with analogies to illustrate his points in his teaching. And one time he used an example of a DVR once in one of the studies I listened to. I don't know if you heard that one, but a DVR is the little part of your cable box that can record shows or can record whatever you want so that you can record it when it's on and then go back later and watch it. So I think Lupe will appreciate this. Let's take a Laker game, for example. Let's say I recorded a Laker game. And you think about what happens during a Laker game. There might be, the lead changes, there might be missed shots, there might be made shots, there might be mistakes the players made, there might be bad calls the refs made, there might be non-calls the refs made, there might be scuffles, there might be some high fives. If we weren't so particular about it, we might already know the outcome. We might already know before we watched the whole game that was the recorded game. We might already know that the Lakers won that game. So the comparison that Pastor Tony was using, he was comparing DVR to what we know of the Word of the Bible. Through the stories that we hear of people, including us, because now we're part of the story, the stories of people going over hills and through valleys, people going through challenges, triumphs. When we think about the story of the Bible, we all know the end of the story. We all know that God wins. And we, the church, still included in the story, will live with him in heaven for all eternity. And so I wanted to bring up how when we think about what we read, sometimes what we read in the Bible about how the Lord uses these comparisons, it helps us to understand better the point that the word is trying to make. And so the point that the Lord was trying to make when he's describing the people was this list that we'll end up going through as we continue on in these verses. And of course, these comparisons make so much sense to the readers because it's very relevant during that time. And that's why I just wanted to mention the fact that when Pastor Tony used the example of the DVR, we can all understand what the point is. And so last week, and for the sake of time, we looked at only the first comparison, that the people's repentance was like that of a morning cloud and the dew. And the morning cloud, this is the first comparison, remember, from last week. And that was in verses 4 and 5 of chapter 6. So again, we still are in chapter 6. So I'll read again, verse 4. O Ephraim, what shall I do to you? O Judah, what shall I do to you? For your faithfulness is like a morning cloud. So just, again, just want to make sure you guys are all there. That is where we left off. Again, continuing in verse 4. And like the early dew, it goes away. Therefore, I have hewn them by the prophets, I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and your judgments are like light that goes forth. So in the morning, just again, as we briefly talked about last time, in the morning, the morning dew looks all nice and sparkly. But as the sun comes up, it dissipates, it dries up. So the point was that Israel's love for the Lord was temporary. It wasn't long-lasting. Verse 6, For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of the Lord more than burnt offerings. As I think back to my Catholic upbringing, I can't help but remember all the rituals that we would do. There was never any love or devotion toward God. Everything we did was empty and void of any true worship. The Lord wants our whole hearts and wants us to know him. But this is what they've done. Verse 7, this is what they've done. But like men, they've transgressed the covenant. There they dealt treacherously with me, basically meaning they betrayed. The Lord says they betrayed my trust. Verse 8, Gilead is a city of evildoers and defiled with blood. As verse 9, as bands of robbers lie in wait for a man, so the company of priests murder on the way to Shechem. Surely they commit lewdness. One commentator says the priests were committing murder by not giving the people the word of God. And we know, like today, we hear of some churches, maybe we've visited some, that stay away from giving their people the whole or the full counsel of God. And what they do is they give out, you know, the feel-good messages or the pep talks. They don't give them any truth. As we think about what God is pointing out here to the people in these two verses, verses 6 and 7. It's no wonder why their faithfulness didn't last. looking at verse 6 again, that it didn't last because God wants the knowledge of him more than their offerings. So they didn't really, again, like as we learned in the earlier chapters, they didn't know him. They knew who he was, but they didn't know him personally. So of course that their faithfulness was not going to last. And they betrayed the Lord. So you're not going to be faithful to someone that you're betraying. So they had no relationship, and they definitely weren't going to know that they needed one. Because again, these priests, they weren't teaching them. They weren't teaching them the full counsel of God. Verse 10, I have seen a horrible thing in the house of Israel. There is harlotry of Ephraim. Israel is defiled. Also, O Judah, a harvest is appointed for you. Verse 11, when I return the captives of my people. Basically, it's saying Israel is prostituting themselves with other gods. So they're worshiping other gods. And when it says harvest, a harvest is appointed for you, basically it's saying a harvest of punishment is waiting for them. So we know again that this prophet Hosea was sent and was doing his ministry here in Israel to warn the people of God's coming judgment. Chapter 7. Verse 1, when I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was uncovered, and the wickedness of Samaria. For they have committed fraud. A thief comes in, a band of robbers takes spoil outside. They do not consider in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own deeds have surrounded them. They are before my face. Verse 3, they make a king glad with their wickedness and princes with their lies. The Lord wants to heal Israel, but they've gone too far in their sins. And what they don't realize is that the Lord is watching them. They've taken their sin out in the open, and even their government encourages their wickedness. It's kind of too familiar to us when we think about what's happening currently in our nation, the sins that are out in the open, the murder of babies, homosexuality, sexual sin, drunkenness. And in verse 4, we get to the second comparison, that the people are adulterers. And the comparison is that they're adulterers like an overheated oven. So for that first comparison was the morning cloud and the dew. The second comparison to the people is that they are like adulterers, like an overheated oven. So verse 4 reads, they are all adulterers, like an oven heated by a baker. He ceases stirring the fire after kneading the dough until it is leavened. In the day of our king, princes have made him sick, inflamed with wine. He stretched out his hand with scoffers. Verse 6, they prepare their heart like an oven. While they lie in wait, their baker sleeps all night. In the morning, it burns like a flaming fire. They are all hot like an oven and have devoured their judges. All their kings have fallen. None among them calls upon me. So this example of an overheated oven, basically what the Lord is trying to say is that you're thinking about them being adulterers and just caught up in sexual immorality. So when the oven's too hot, it's just too hot. And so what he's saying here is that the people are burning with lust. We see in verse 6, it says, while they lie in wait. While they lie in wait, their baker sleeps all night. But in the morning, it burns like a flaming fire. So that's saying their lust, they're so lustful that their lust, it burns all night, and they're so lustful that when they wake up in the morning, it's still there. So that's how burning with lust that they are. It's just like it's nonstop. It never ends. Morning, noon, and night, they want to be involved in sexual sin. Verse 7, it says again, they are all hot like an oven and have devoured their judges. All their kings have fallen. None among them calls upon me. What it's saying here is that all of the good and godly judges, they got rid of them. And when it says none among them calls upon me, basically the people, they're not going to the Lord anymore. They're so far from the Lord that they're looking to other gods or other ways, other people for hope. Again, not looking and not calling upon the Lord. I think we would all agree that our country needs so much prayer right now. You know, may the Lord help us to call upon Him to lead us through this time and any other times like this. The next comparison that he uses, that he calls them, it's like they are a half-baked cake. And here it says, a cake unturned. Like it's easier to say like a half-baked cake. And verse 8, it says, Ephraim has mixed himself among the peoples. Ephraim is a cake unturned. So it's also, again, it's just easier for me. They're like a half-baked cake. It's a little tongue twister there for you. So if you could think about, you guys, I'm sure you guys have cooked pancakes. Yeah? Cooked pancakes? Yeah? So imagine, yeah, of course, Steph has cooked pancakes. Richard? Probably, no, maybe not. He waits for Steph's, yeah. Steph's the one doing pancakes. So imagine you're cooking a pancake, and So you poured the batter and you just left it there. And you never flipped it over. So we wouldn't eat it, right? And you can't use it for anything. So you wouldn't eat it. You can't use it. It was useless. So the Lord was saying that the people were useless. They were like a half-baked cake. They were like a pancake never flipped over. Because they were mixing with other nations and their gods. In verse 9 it says, as bands of robbers lie in wait for a man, so the company of priests murder on the way to Shechem. Aliens have devoured his strength, but he does not know it. Yes, gray hairs are here and there on him, and he does not know it. So because they were, these people, God is saying that they're useless. They've been mixing with other nations, mixing or worshiping other gods. And because of that, they were losing their strength. We all know the term unequally yoked. So they were, by mixing with other gods and nations, they were becoming equally yoked with the aliens, as it says there in verse 9. They were becoming unequally yoked with the aliens from other places. We can kind of see this thing happening in some churches. The word of God is not taught. You might get maybe 15 minutes of the word, but it's the main part of their service. It's like a show. And what you end up with is a congregation filled with people that have lives that show no fruit. Thank God for churches that teach the whole Bible, amen? The third comparison that we come across here is a silly dove. So the Lord compares the people to a silly dove. Read verse in verse 11 it says, hold on, let me read verse 10, and the pride of Israel testifies to his face, but they do not return to the Lord their God nor seek him for all this. Again, they're not turning to the Lord. They're still in their hearts, they're turning away. Verse 11, Ephraim also is like a silly dove without sense. They call to Egypt, they go to Assyria. So he's describing Ephraim as the lost tribe of Israel. It's like they're like a silly dove. They're like a bird flying with no direction. They just go back and forth. These people, the people of Israel, they're going back and forth seeking help. They try to seek help from Egypt, as it says, they call in the looking at verse 11, it says they call to Egypt. So they tried to seek some help from Egypt, and then they also tried to seek help from Assyria. They didn't know that Assyria was going to eventually conquer them and plunder them. So they had no idea where to go. I was kind of picturing in my mind, you know, some birds are smart, but sometimes you think of a dove, and I just thought of those videos that you might see on America's Funniest Videos, or sometimes you see them on Facebook, people share stuff where It's like there's doves. They're going to release some doves at a funeral, and there's too many videos where the doves do something that most people or almost everybody would not have expected, and like they'll crash into a pole, or like someone was shooting some rifles at the funeral or something. Maybe the doves got shot by them, and so you see these doves just like, stupid birds. And so that's basically what the Lord was saying about the people of Israel. They're going this way, going that way, not knowing where to go, and that's why they were compared to silly doves. Verse 13. Woe to them, for they have fled from me. Destruction to them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I redeem them, yet they have spoken lies against me. They did not cry out to me with their heart when they wailed upon their beds. They assembled together for grain and new wine. They rebel against me, though I disciplined and strengthened their arms. Yet they devise evil against me. They return, but not to the Most High. There's so many words in there that I, think about if how bad it would be if I personally would do these things. And this is what they were doing. So in verse 13 it says they fled from me. It says they transgressed against me. It says they've spoken lies about me. Verse 14, they did not cry out to me. The end of verse 14 says they rebel against me. And in verse 16, they return, but not to the Most High. They return, they come back, but they don't come back to the Lord. It was just interesting. It was just something that I noticed about how after all of this, all these words from the Lord or for the people through Hosea, this is how they're treating their creator. And Lord, help us not to do these things. Don't not to flee, not to transgress, not to speak lies about him. And that we would cry out to him and not cry out to other gods. That we would not rebel against him, and that we would always come back to him if we felt that we have strayed away. Last comparison is presented here is in my Bible, it says the treacherous bow, but it's treacherous. It means like a faulty bow, or like a bow and arrow. So like a bow, let's say like a bow that has, I don't know what you call it, but the part that you pull back for the arrow. So this part right here is broken. That's what he's describing the people as. So what was that? It's still verse 16. They return, but not to the Most High. They are like a treacherous bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword for the cursings of their tongue. This shall be their derision in the land of Egypt. So the faulty bow, the broken bow, the arrow it goes nowhere. So you can't do anything with a broken bow. You can't shoot a bow. You can't shoot an arrow with a bow. It's broken. So it's just basically, it's just like the half-baked cake. It's a useless weapon. There's no point to it. You can't use it. So again, the people are like basically saying that they're trash, that they're useless. Tonight it's gonna end a little early. I wanted to get to the next set of comparisons in chapter 8. But I feel that it'd be easier just to not break it up. So if we can see that whole section, not between two different nights, they'll be better. But one thing that I want to leave you tonight with, just some thoughts on what we just covered, what we just read. So I think of people who I've crossed paths with, or who are even currently sort of in my life, whether it be a mutual friend or someone I just don't see very often, where it seems maybe they've had this kind of false repentance. You know, if you think about, you know, these people that you know, if you think about where they're at with the Lord, whether they knew him, whether they say that they know him, and then maybe they don't, or maybe they do know him, but maybe they're backslidden, or whether they've never, or whether maybe they've never heard about him. But I just think about some of these people, and you know, are their hearts in this same sort of condition as what's being described here? And of course, we don't always know people's hearts. But the question I have for myself, and the question I have for you all, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people. Are we willing to ask those we know, like just a simple like, hey, how's your walk? I wouldn't doubt that most of us have at least one person that we can be that candid with. If we don't, we need to either start balancing out our list of friends, balance like believers to non-believers, or stop being lazy or worried about how people might react to a question like that. We can be reminded of how necessary it is to have regular fellowship, and how we need to be ready to be used by the Lord to help edify one another, to help build each other up in the faith. And whether it's these people or whether it's you or me, the fact of the matter is that we're all sinners. And may the comparison that can be made about our lives be like that of a flaming fire, shining and burning bright for the Lord for all to see.